sport press.
Yeah. No layup line, no warm-ups, no nothing. We just walking right into the stadium, getting to the game. Let's do it.
When the beat on, then it's on. When our right jerseys on the road. Cause how we feel where we roam is our home. Leaving these other podcasts null and void. The show can't miss something like Tom Shepard and corduroys. Full Sport Press, you know them boys. Jay run the point, lock for three. And me, I crash the boards. Weezy told you that it's paid for. We already ran the score before the cameraman could go and press record. Now you all in your feelings. Cause we trusted the process and y'all was tanking for Wiggins. We was spreading the love and y'all was trading for Wiggins. Went to war with the Wolves and y'all was waiting on Wiggins, huh? I had to do it fast. The flow split the double, grabbed the dribble, and Euro stepped over the 808. I'm on time even when...
You are now listening to the Full Sport Press podcast featuring hosts J-Hove, Weezy, Jeff, and Coach Locke. Please enjoy the show.
Nah, he has some bars.
They say he's a better writer than he is.
Nah, he can rap.
I didn't know he wrote like that.
Yeah. Greetings and salutations. I would like to welcome everybody back and some of you for the first time to the Full Sport Press podcast, the premier sports podcast for the consummate sports fan. This is your one-stop shop for all sports-related news and topics. I'm Jay Ho.
It's your boy Weezy. What it do?
It's your man, Coach Locke.
Jeff is out on assignment. Shout out to you, Jeff.
Yes, shout out to Jeff.
Cameraman, how you doing, brother? Awesome. Whisper.
I'm so yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so awesome.
Yeah. Glizzy. Shot Glizzy. That's my boy. Shout out to Shot Glizzy. Episode 400. Nah. Nah, it's not
400. It's not.
It's episode 505. We're bringing the 2023 football season to an end by fixing our NFL teams for 2024-2025.
FSP style.
Always FSP style.
You better damn know it.
Better damn believe it.
Coach Locke, best of the week. Talk to the people.
My best of the week, man. Shout out to the fiance, man. She led her basketball team to the state playoffs in Texas for the first time probably in, I think they hadn't been in 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
So her first year there, she led them to the first round of the playoffs. They went 21-11, I think.
Look at that, man.
Yeah, so 20-win season is always a big deal in basketball, yeah, man.
Coaching is strong in the Lockridge household.
It is.
Strong coaching.
Oh, man.
Strong coaching.
Oh, man.
Shout out to
T. Don't worry, you don't want to be if both of you done lost on the same night.
Oof. It's a long night.
Oh, it's a long night.
Yeah. Oof. Slow slinging the foul, man.
Yeah.
But Weezy, talk to the people.
Best of the week. Best week for me was the Super Bowl, man. It was a good game.
We saw
a really good game for the Super Bowl.
Yeah. My best of the week.
No. It's all good game. It's the first overtime game.
Let it go, bro.
I ain't shooting no shots.
Okay.
My best of the week is Shaq with his third jersey retirement. He got his jersey retired in Orlando, the third NBA star to have his jersey retired by three different teams, joining Wilt Chamberlain and Pistol Pete Maravich. Shout out to you, Shaq. Long overdue.
Yeah.
Long overdue.
Yeah.
Yep. Worst of the week, we used to talk to the people.
Worst of the week, I have been, is the BetMGM app, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody heard anything called self-exclusion from your app, but I've been self-excluded. They said I pushed the button. I didn't know I pushed, and I don't even know what to do. I ain't call a lawyer. Coach, you think it's funny. I'm losing my mind. If there's any lawyers that listen to the show or anything like that, please help me out.
I got one on retainer. We can get you there.
Please. Need help.
Yeah.
Need help.
I got you.
Yeah. Because you need help.
Yeah, bad.
Yeah.
Bad. Yeah, so, yeah, it's just bad.
Yeah, yeah. Just leave it at that.
Yeah, it's bad.
Leave it at that.
It's tough.
Yeah.
My worst of the week is 0-3, and let's move on. What you got, Coach?
I second that motion.
Yeah, I'm right.
0-3.
Oh, all right.
You up, Coach? Paul.
Mm-hmm. Now make sure you check us out on iTunes, Facebook, IG, Google Play, Spotify, YouTube, Amazon Music to catch up on a full archive of past episodes of FSP by simply searching Full Sport Press Podcast. Now, before we get started with the first half, Weezy and J-Ho.
Yes, sir.
Do we have a Yellow Box of Cheerios Award recipient for the listener?
The infamous Super Bowl streaker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shout out to the guys. The Super Bowl streaker is breaking his silence. Alex Gonzalez says the plan was to originally place a prop bet at a Vegas sports book, cameraman, plunking down cash on a fan running on the field during the Chiefs versus Niners game. The only issue, when Gonzalez tried to place the bet, it no longer existed. Mm-hmm. So at that point, he said he was already committed. So despite spending over 40 grand on tickets, he decided to go forward with the plan, knowing he'd never get to finish watching the game or cash in on the bet. Gonzalez ultimately ran onto the field for several seconds before giving himself up to security officers who were closing in before leading him to a holding cell in the back of the new stadium. I know he's sick, but he had to go through with it. He had bought cleats. He had did everything he was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. He fully committed. Yeah. You got to go through with it.
Might as well.
Yeah.
Now, this is what they're going to do. This is going to happen. If they keep this prop bet for the Super Bowl, that there will be a streaker. It's going to be an asterisk on it somewhere that says, if you're the streaker, it's going to cancel your bet.
It's going to cancel the damn bet.
Because you cheat in the house, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, huh, here, what's the criminal charges behind it?
It's a felony. It's not a felony. No. It is a misdemeanor.
It's a misdemeanor.
It's a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
So you can make the bet.
Put it on your man.
Throw me some bread and go out there and try to dodge that.
Yeah.
You ain't got to dodge.
You got to dodge.
Because you're going to get caught.
You're going to get caught.
Eventually.
Yeah, you're going to get caught.
I'm going to dodge about two or three of them.
Nah, you're going to get caught. You're going to jail, too.
You're definitely going to jail. Dodge, but you're going to get caught.
Nah, you're going to jail.
So whatever you bet on, you better make sure it's worth it.
Yeah. He also revealed he used to work at Dunkin' Donuts, making $158 a week. Said he eventually took it into trading, day trading, starting with investments of $100 to $200. And since then, he's amassed a $50 million fortune and built a devoted community of followers and traders who rallied behind him. So,
I don't believe
it.
He just having fun.
He just having fun. And if you spend 42 grand to run out,
you ain't tripping.
No, you ain't tripping.
You ain't tripping. What's the point of doing it then?
Because they got his at name. It was on his body. They didn't show it.
They didn't show it on TV.
They can't show it on TV because that gives motive for people to do it. But people that saw it there, and on top of that, now he's getting interviewed by TMZ, Page Six, everything. It just bringing more attention to him and his trading. So
I guess.
Yeah. I think he up probably, I don't think he up 50 million.
Yeah.
It's the thing. You can be up 50 million. That means he's made 50 million day trades. You
totally.
See what I'm saying? Yeah.
Okay. So he could have lost 49.5
exactly.
million.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. But here's the thing, too. The reason that he gets his yellow box is because he told too many people before he actually did the actual.
Keep your mouth quiet, dog.
And just, hey.
Keep your mouth quiet. Just be quiet.
And stitches, dog.
Just you know, just move in silence, dog. Man. Move in silence.
Like lasagna.
Like cheese and lasagna.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. You guys ready to get started the first half?
Let's do it.
Let's get it.
The first half is underway.
Full Sport Press.
First half, the hottest sports news of the past week. Like we do each and every week here at the Full Sport Press Podcast. Before we get started, I am Jay Hope.
It's your boy Weez. What it do?
It's your man, Coach Locke.
Coach Locke, what can you find you on social media, my brother?
Man, nothing's changed. It's Locke underscore the underscore great. That's THA. Get at me.
Yeah, yeah.
It will.
Got to work on that.
It's a long week, bro.
It's okay. It's all right.
Jay.
What's happening, brother?
Where can they find you on social media after your wonderful week you had?
Thank you, brother. Well, it was an all right week. Every week is good, though, that we make it, though.
There you go.
To make it to another Friday. Jay Hope on Instagram and Twitter. Holler at me on Twitter. Let's have a full conversation. Get these predictions out.
Still let me down.
It's all good, though,
yeah.
Dog. It's all good.
Let me down.
It's all good.
I'm FSP underscore Weezy on IG. I'm at How Weezy on Twitter.
Yeah.
If you know anybody from BetMGM on Twitter, holler at me.
Yeah, you got to get that squared away. Let's kick the first half off with some NFL talk. The Chiefs won Super Bowl 58 on Sunday, 25-22 in overtime. They became the first team in 19 seasons to repeat as Super Bowl champions. Talk winners and losers, kicking off with the winners. Weezy, give me your first winner.
Oh, my first winner is Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator from the Chiefs.
Yep.
Called blitzes at the right times. Mm. Put heavy pressure when he needed to. Brock Purdy held the pressure pretty good.
He did,
too.
Man. He played really well under the pressure. He played he did.
Really good for a game manager. But, Steve Spagnuolo is my first winner.
Cool.
My first winner, the Chiefs organization as a whole,
mm-hmm.
they have put themselves in the room of dynasties now with that last Super Bowl win. They've been to four of the last five Super Bowls and won three of them. That puts you in a whole nother category of teams. And like Jay mentioned, the first team to go back to back in 19 years. When you put yourself in that Echelon and that category, it just completely changed your organization. Just like the Patriots now, what they are known for, they used to be the bottom of the barrel. When people would see them, they wouldn't even worry about them. But now, even when you hit the Patriots of the season they've had, you still worry about them. Nerds. Now the Chiefs have put themselves in that category of dynasties.
Yep. I'm rolling with you, Coach. It's definitely the Chiefs. For a specific reason, I ain't going to go in here and do no capping. The Chiefs' O-line hasn't been called for a single holding penalty in all three Super Bowl wins. Not one. Not one offensive holding. Not one. And what makes this even crazier is that the Chiefs had more offensive holding calls this season than any other teams in the entire NFL. Not getting one holding call throughout the entire playoffs. Very different right mm-hmm. there. Their only holding call in the Super Bowl was 2019 for a wide receiver mm-hmm. holding call. So,
Did you see holding calls that should have been called?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's the thing. I'm an equal opportunist. It was both sides. We had some plays where we should have been called for holding, didn't get called for.
Greg McKinnon doing right there.
Yeah, he's holding. They're holding.
Holding Fred Warner right there.
They was holding.
It's 36
in overtime. Yeah, it changed the game.
Yeah, can't do that.
Changed the game.
Yeah, hard to win games like that. Very, very difficult. Very difficult. Any other next winner? What you got, Weezy? I'm just keeping it real. Those are facts.
So okay, was that not holding?
Absolutely, but okay. That didn't affect the outcome of the game.
It's 3rd and 6 in overtime.
It changes it to 3rd and 16.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. What you got? What you got, Weezy?
Okay. Yeah. See. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my other one was Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce showed up big in the second half. Mm. Showed up big. He caught 80% of the passes thrown to him. All of a sudden, he had 88 yards receiving. 40 of it came in the second half.
Travis Kelce needs to thank Dre Greenlaw's Achilles. That's 100%. What he needs to thank.
I'm not saying
guarding him in the first half.
I'm not saying you were wrong. I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you know, telling you.
If he don't get hurt, that's a lot different.
He was crying to the coach, Dre Greenlaw.
It's a lot different.
Oh, well, he should have been in the game. He wasn't even in the game. That was a
– Yeah, but I'm just saying he's frustrated. Dre Greenlaw had a really good job.
Any superstar, he should have been in the game on that moment. I'd have been mad, too.
But even if he would have been in the game, wouldn't nothing happen, though. Yeah. But, yeah.
Another winner.
Yeah, Pat Mahomes, man.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
He's one step closer to – catching the GOAT, Tom Brady, because Tom Brady's still the GOAT. Let's just be clear. Pat Mahomes is on a path to get there, sure. But at the end of the day, he still has to win 3 more. He has plenty of time to do it. Not saying he won't, not saying he will, but we can't give him GOAT yet because of what he's done, because at the end of the day, we're judged by our career. So are we going to say Pat Mahomes is the GOAT if he doesn't win another one? Don't know. Am I saying he's not going to another one? Not saying that. But I'm just saying he is one step closer, though, to catching Tom Brady because, once again, in the crunch time, when it matters, he leads his team on a game-winning drive,
yeah.
A game-tying drive first, and then a game-winning drive. Yeah. So Pat Mahomes is another winner.
Yeah, that's what I said. In each of Kansas City's 3 Super Bowl victories, he's brought his team back from 10-point deficits. It's crazy. Scary part, he's only 28, right in his prime. Shout out to Pat Mahomes. You got another winner, Weezy?
No, I'm good on winners. Y'all could pat my home, but y'all good.
I will give it like Brock Purdy, guys. He was not the winning quarterback, but like Weezy mentioned, he was getting blitz, and on those blitz packages, he played exceptionally well. Shouldn't answer any questions that we have as far as the quarterback position. He's really good. He needs pieces. He's not Patrick Mahomes, you know, one of those guys that can make people better. He is one of those guys that need a stacked deck, but he was measured, played really well with a lot of poise. Took care of the ball. Very polarizing figure if you look at game managers, but he played well enough for us to win that game and we lost.
Yeah, he went 5 for 8 when he was being blitzed.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so I think he played really well. Good enough to win that game. He played really well.
For sure.
Played really well. Go ahead.
I think we could take the game manager, probably take it off his record.
Yeah, nah, he's still a game manager, but a really good one. Losers, Weezy.
Your opinion.
Yeah.
Losers? I got my first loser is San Francisco, Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk couldn't get off the line of scrimmage.
He's having a long night.
He couldn't get off the line of scrimmage. That boy was jamming him at the point of attack. Yeah, so that was my first loser. I mean, because he's considered one of the others on that team. So the others have to show up a little bit so the big boys can get off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He didn't show up at all.
Yeah.
Coach?
I have George Kittle as a loser. Yeah. Only having two catches of 4 yards in a whole game is not George Kittle-like. Now, whether that's not because we were not looking for him or he couldn't get open, I don't know what it was. But if you go into this game and you tell me George Kittle's going to have two catches of 4 yards, I'm probably going to say we're not going to win the game.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because we need him to make plays. We don't need him to have 150 yards, none of that. But we need him to have that 50, 60 yards to get us that blanket that we have when Debo or Ayuk is not open or Christian McCaffrey can't get going and out of the backfield. We need George Kittle to be that safety blanket, and he didn't have a game.
I'm with you. My first loser is Kyle Shanahan, not necessarily considering the fact of him or what he didn't do and what he did do. We ignored, and Coach Locke was saying this during the game, we ignored our AP Offensive Player of the Year, Christian McCaffrey, and 3 first drives in the third quarter. You can't do that. 3 consecutive 3-and-outs right there. All the 3 of our Super Bowls that we played in, 0-3. Shanahan has been a head coach or an offensive coordinator. His team has been held to at least a 10-point lead and 0-3. You can't get up 10 and lose games like that. He's a great coach, great offensive mind. It's just a monkey on his back. It's one of those things where – you know, it's hard to get to a Super Bowl, but to go as often as we have and not win one, he's the only person that hasn't done so. It's a lot on his plate right there, a lot on his jacket. And, it had a lot to do with the defense, but it had a lot to do with the offense as well. Mm-hmm. Another loser, guys?
Kyle Shanahan was another loser I had. For all the reasons you mentioned, and the one area that he didn't control that I think ultimately lost us the game was the special teams play where the ball hit the foot of one of the gunners going down the field.
Yeah.
And we didn't recover because that was the only touchdown that the Kansas City Chiefs scored
in the second half.
Until the second half when they went on the drive. Yeah. They hadn't scored. We were stopping them. So even though we weren't scoring points, we wouldn't allow them to score points.
They weren't scoring points.
It
either.
Completely changed the game.
Yeah.
But like you mentioned, and I was screaming at the TV, give the ball to Christian McCaffrey. Quit trying to throw the ball on first down on these drives. Because you give to Christian McCaffrey, even if he only gets 3 yards, now the defense has to play the guessing game of what you're going to do on second down.
Yeah.
You throw on first down and don't get no yard. Now they know you're going to pretty much have to throw the ball.
Yeah. Tough. Any other losers?
Yeah. My loser is that was a sloppy game on both sides when it comes to turnovers. Both sides, man. They were turning the ball over way too many times for that type of a game. So the coaches had to make adjustments on the fly. Like that first drive, Chris McCaffrey was doing his thing. They were finna go, y'all finna go score.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he fumbled the ball. That messed everything up. And then coming out of halftime, Patrick Mahomes was finna go score. He threw an interception.
Mm-hmm.
It messes. It just, I seen a lot of sloppy. That wasn't the best play game, but it was a good game towards the end.
Yeah, for sure. Shout out to the Chiefs. They won that one.
You got another loser?
No, I don't.
Oh, I have one more.
Okay, go ahead.
Our offensive line in overtime.
Yeah.
On third down, I don't know how you miss Chris Jones, of all people, on the line in that position.
Yeah.
If we just have him chip blocked, we score a touchdown. Because Juwan Jennings was wide open. The move he made, brought him over, and Purdy just didn't have enough time just to get it in the air to get it to him for us to score that touchdown. So I don't know how you don't block Chris Jones of all people on that line.
Yeah, I see him. Yeah.
So speaking of the San Francisco 49ers, after just one season with the 49ers, the defensive coordinator Steve Wilks was relieved of his duties. The dismissal did not come entirely without warning, given that the 49ers experienced some growing pains on defense during the regular season after Willis took over for D'Amico Ryans and then struggled on that side of the ball during the NFC playoffs. So my question for you guys is, was it fair or foul that Steve Wilks was relieved of his duties after 1 year with the 49ers? Wheezy.
Yeah, this caught me by total surprise. Y'all defense is top 5 defense in the league the entire year. I think he was the scapegoat. And his defense played good. His defense not played good in the Super Bowl? Until a couple plays? Maybe a couple plays that cost him the game? But what cost him the game was the Chris Jones. It wasn't the defense. The Chris Jones when he mm-hmm. when he caused that sack in overtime.
Yeah.
But we've been saying the whole year, y'all defense is locked down.
Yeah, because of the players winning the schemes. You finish?
Yeah. So you think?
Yeah, no, I think this is the most overstated thing as far as him being the scapegoat. If they could have fired him week six, they would have fired him week six. He's been that bad. Like, this man, if they would have won the Super Bowl, he would have got fired. Like, it don't matter. It wasn't working. It wasn't going to work. He was absolutely – it's one of those things with Kyle Shanahan. He's so used to bringing in his guys, right? And for the last four defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators have all been in-house. The first time he goes outside of the 49ers tree, he brings in Steve Wilks, and this guy is one of those 2005 Tampa 2 secondary heavy defensive coordinators because he's a secondary coach. And here's the thing. We don't need secondary coaching. We are a defensive line up front seven type of defense. So in turn, you have Fred Warner the first seven games. That's why we lost three games in a row. Fred Warner's playing 30 yards back. Mm-hmm. He's not coverage. He's coming down. Dre Greenlaw is the guy that does covering. Like, why are you using Fred Warner like that? So in turn, it got so bad that they had to bring him down from the coaching booth to come all the way down and just to be there so they can know what the – and it took them forever to kind of figure out the system as far as how they sub in players. It's just – it was a bad, like, omen from the start. And he's a good guy. Like, he's – you know, he's had some good runs, but there's no coincidence that he's been fired the last five times. He was a defensive coordinator as far as the Browns. He got fired there. In Mizzou, he got fired as a defensive coordinator. Panthers fired him for that situation that he was in right there. So, in turn, before that, it was Arizona. It's just an old defense. That Tampa 2 weird secondary defense is for 2005 defense. If you got Ray Lewis and you got Ed Reed over the top, we don't have that. We are heavy on our front line, and he was going to lose it. He's a dinosaur defensive coordinator, and he would have got fired in week six if we could have done it.
Yeah, this was fair. I know a lot of people are looking at it because it was so much light on the Super Bowl. And like we just said, the defense did their job early. We did. We did our job second half for the most part. But what you have to look at is the 49er fans that watched them all year. We come in used to be having the number one defense. Like in 2022, we were the league leader in total defense. This year, we ranked eighth in total defense with him at the helms. You go back and look at the playoffs. He made a call against Minnesota in the regular season when all our blitz when he shouldn't have done it. It cost us the game. Doing that three-game skid was when that happened. But then if you go and look at the Detroit Lions game, the Green Bay game during the playoffs, 52 points combined and 318 yards rushing in those two games. That's not like a San Francisco defense. So a lot of light was shed on the Super Bowl. So it looks like they fired him because of what happened in the Super Bowl. And it wasn't just a Super Bowl.
Nah.
It was what was going on all throughout the year. And that's what happened with
that. He was going to get fired anyway. Yeah. Anything else? Shout out to Steve Wilks. Great season. Before we get started with halftime, let's talk some NBA. The Golden State Warriors made a run at acquiring Lakers superstar and Weezy's guy, LeBron James, who ultimately expressed his desire to remain in L.A. for at least now, just for the rest of the year. Even at this stage of their careers, LeBron and Steph Curry teaming up would have broken the internet. We would kick things off with Coach Locke. Is this something that could work out next year, Coach?
No, I don't see it working out.
I think it's a pipe dream.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. The Lakers are going to make a move next year, and they're going to have a superstar. Don't know who it's going to be, but it's no way that they go through their trade deadline and they don't get a big splash, and then they don't get somebody next season. Now, if this would have happened, then we'd be talking about something totally different. Because now you're talking about one of the greatest players ever teamed up with the best shooter ever in Golden State. And they already don't have that great of a record. So that means they'll be more than likely get a good draft pick coming up. So then you're talking about pairing those two guys with the pick that they're going to get. But since this didn't happen, I don't think it's nothing to talk about.
Weez, your guy, how you feel about that playing with Steph?
I don't want to see it happen just because LeBron done played with so many superstars.
Yeah.
So many superstars. So, I mean, So the barbershop talk and the gas station talk, it would have been, oh man, he played with this player. He played with this player. And then you can't defend that because he did play with all those players.
Already has.
Yeah. So I wouldn't want to see that. And this would have been a big deal if the trade, like I said, the trade would have went through. If it didn't go through, I don't even know why we're talking about it.
Yeah. I can dig it.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that if the Warriors would have to just give up Andrew Wiggins and Klay Thompson to make the salaries match up, then that would have been great. But they have no intentions of trading LeBron James. Like Coach mentioned, they're going to get Trae Young next year or Kyrie Irving and Donovan Mitchell, and they'll roll out with the two pieces of AD and whoever this point guard wing is for the Lakers for the foreseeable future. So it's hard for LeBron James not to accept $51 million, which will be his option to sign in for the end of the year. $51 million for one person 1 year is crazy. But listen, Clutch knows what they're doing. When there's smoke, there's fire. They put it out there. They didn't have to came. You know how many people have called and asked about Michael Jordan being traded. People have called and asked for Kevin Durant. It don't get out. So in turn, it gets out for a reason for the Lakers to be like, hey, you have two picks, three now, first round picks. Make sure you get those guys in. Get rid of those first round picks so we can bring in some guys. So it's just a negotiating tactic that Clutch does at a very high level, and they've been doing that for the foreseeable future for all of their superstars. It's kind of pushing the upper management to do what they're supposed to do. It's a negotiating piece. LeBron James is never going to play with Steph Curry, unfortunately.
No.
It's one of those things that's not going to happen. But what it does is like, oh, shit, like, all right, well, we got to make sure that we get LeBron happy, and AD's there too, and that's also a clutch guy. So let's make sure these guys are happy for the foreseeable future. So
LeBron can make it easy, man. Don't take this $51 million. Yeah. Like, you don't need the money, dog.
You don't.
You don't need the money at all. You could have already had a superstar had you not signed that contract to pay $50 and $51 million a year.
Crazy.
You don't need that, man, especially with the production that you're giving. You're not playing defense, bro.
Not playing any defense.
You're not going anybody. You don't get back. You go up, if you think you got fouled, when you're not, you completely stop, talk to officials, the other team is playing 5-on-4.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, but I get it. What the right thing for LeBron James to do, and which it sounds insane, but this is what Tom Brady did his last 2 years in New England. You opt out, and you take the vet men.
Mm-hmm.
The vet men is 5.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get two players in.
Wow, you got 45 million, 46 to play with.
And that's Trae Young and also DeMar DeRozan. And now you have a championship and a chance to win at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
Just do the right thing, LeBron.
Like Spike Lee.
Yeah, but he's not going to do that.
You
think he's going to take the 50?
Absolutely.
He's not going to. If his son gets there.
Nah, I'm telling you.
He's not going to take the 50.
Coach, he's going to take that. Coach, he's going to take that 50 million.
He'll be
you know why?
Wow.
Yeah.
His son going to the draft.
He'll play in the G League next year, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll play in the G League. Yeah. You guys ready to get started with halftime?
Let's do it.
Let's get it.
We're at the midway point. Please enjoy all of the halftime festivities.
Halftime. We are back with Jeff's NBA Top 7 Power Rankings. Now, as we know, Jeff is out on assignment, but I'm going to take it and take over for him and use Jeff's notes on what he – take it and take over.
Four on the left. Okay, my bad.
So we're going to start off first with the league pass legends of the week. And we have none other than Paolo Banchero's Orlando Magic. They are winners of their last 10. They've won 7 games, fellas. So they're figuring some stuff out there in Orlando. So we're going to start with number 7 of these power rankings. We have the Phoenix Suns, who are winners of the last 5 of the last 6, coming off of a tough loss to Golden State. Jeff probably didn't like that. You know, he's not the biggest Steph fan, but my coach Jay Hove probably was feeling good about that. At number 6.
Wait, yeah, Golden State is 7?
Yeah. No, he had Phoenix at 7.
Phoenix is 7. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Phoenix is 7.
Okay, go ahead.
At 6, we have the New Orleans Pelicans. They've been flying below the radar, which is for the best, considering they've won 6 of their last 7 with a loss coming to the Lakers. At number 5, speaking of the Lakers, we have the Los Angeles Lakers, winners of 6 of their last 7. AD has been balling out, even though LeBron has missed a couple of games here and there. But AD and Rui put on the show the other night.
They did.
At number 4, the Golden State Warriors, winners 8 of their last 10 with a big win over the Phoenix Suns. Moving Klay to the bench seems to work out because Klay had a big night, putting up 35 coming off the bench. At number 3, the Cleveland Cavs, riding a 9-game winning streak. But they did lose on a last-second shot to the Philadelphia 76ers, but got right back to business. At number 2, the Boston Celtics, winners of their last 6. Now, they're going in the soft part of the schedule before the break, but none other, they've won 6 straight going into the All-Star break. All right. At number 1, the Dallas Mavericks. They've won 6 straight. Getting Grant Williams out of town is working for everybody, it seems to be. And they have a big win over the New York Knicks in Madison Square Garden and OKC at home.
That's a bad
that list. Is.
That's a bad list. Golden State is
top 7 power rankings.
That's ridiculous. The boy, they won 6. They won 6 of their last 7 games.
8 of their last 10.
Hey, come on, man. That's bullshit.
The Cavs have won 9 straight.
Yeah, but that's... I ain't finna do that. Yeah. Anyway.
Y'all ready to get started with the second half?
Let's get it.
All right.
The second half is underway. Full Sport Press.
Second half, we are here, losers of the Super Bowl. And we're here to fix our NFL teams for 2024-2025. I am J-Ho.
This your boy, Weezy. What it do?
It's your man, Coach Lop.
Did not think we would be doing this.
Jesus.
We should have been in this situation. Like,
he got to pop the shit. Bottle.
Shit, we bringing them right back.
You know what I'm saying?
Not so much. Nah.
It's over with.
Now the Super Bowl 58 is in the books. NFL teams are preparing to shift their focus to the offseason as they aim to improve in 2024. Some squads will be.
I got to ask.
Guys, damn it in the middle of that. Why did you wait? Why well, you could have waited. Go ahead. What you got to ask? This should be very interesting. Go ahead.
How was the shindig?
Some squads will be looking to add the final pieces to make a Super Bowl run next season.
I ain't never seen Golden
While others will be attempting to set themselves up for long-term success by either cleaning up their salary cap situation or swinging trades to acquire assets in the form of young talent and draft picks. Here's to you, every team that didn't make it to the playoffs this year.
Was the food good?
Great.
Free agency weeks away and the draft weeks later, FSP is here to attack our NFL teams, including Jeff's. Each of the esteemed panel will come up with 3 major off-season fixes that each of our respective teams must make to compete in 2024. We will kick things off with the lowly Tennessee Titans. 3 major offseason fixes that the Tennessee Titans must make to improve and make it to the playoffs in 2024-2025. $80 million in cap space and the number 7 pick in the 2024 NFL draft. Weezy.
First of all, we need a lot. We need a lot. But the first main thing we have to improve immediately is the offensive line.
No question.
Offensive line has to be changed. I mean, fixed immediately. Skoronski's good. That's really about it. We got to get another left tackle.
Yeah. Can we have a rebuttal when you talk about when you finish with the offensive line? Go ahead. I know it's your first one. I want to talk about your offensive line. But go ahead. Go ahead. Finish it up.
But yeah, my offensive line. We have to let me go 1, 2, and 3.
No, just 3. Let's start with 3. And then, because I agree, you guys have to fix that offensive line.
Yeah, 3 is offensive line. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just think that an upgrade in this area is crucial. After watching so many teams develop a quarterback, to have that quarterback to play at a high level in a rushing attack, you have to have a great offensive line. Titans allowed 64 sacks last season, coach. Top 5 worst in the NFL. And then you draft Peter Skoronski, who was basically the only shining bright light on that entire offensive line. So you have him.
Well, Broski was cool, too. He was just a one-year deal.
And then also you paid Dillard, though, who was trash. You gave him 12 sacks.
That was a bad pick.
And you gave him $29 million. And the Titans were listed as the worst offensive line in the entire NFL last year.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's why I said fix it.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's been stated in a bunch of publications that this is the best offensive line mm-hmm. draft in the entire NFL history within the last 10 years. So
yeah.
Yeah, Coach, you got something to say about the offensive line?
That was one of mine for sure. Because if you expect your young QB and Will Levis to be able to make strides and get better, you have to be able to keep him upright.
Yeah.
If he's continued to run for his life, or as soon as he snaps the ball, somebody's in his face, he's not going to be able to make those strides for you to think, okay, we find that franchise QB, and then you're going to be trying to go into the draft again the next year and say you need to get a quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, today's game is played inside out. The trenches start. It started the trenches. Yeah. We gotta do better at the trenches to keep our quarterback upright.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. You guys at 7. Joe Alt can be there at 7. You get him.
Maybe, yeah.
He could be there at 7. Oh, and then you go right back with Cooper Beebe on that second joint. And that's two staples on your offensive line for the next 15 years.
And you already got one, so now you got three good ones.
You got three good ones. Yeah. Yeah. Let's go home with that.
We need the offensive line bad.
Okay. All right. What's your next thing?
Oh, my second thing, we need to get a free agent receiver. We still got D-Hop. Which I don't know, you know, he could get traded. I don't know what he's going to do. He played great for what he's the best. He's the best receiver coming from Fridge that we ever had. He actually played great. And 1,000 yards with that offensive line, with that quarterback changing between Tannehill and Will Levis, to get 1,000 yards from that is wonderful. Mm-hmm. But we need to address, get a free agent wide receiver now while we got the money.
Coach, what you say to that?
Wide receiver was my second one. You need to get your wide receiver that could possibly be a number one wide receiver, mm-hmm. because DeAndre Hopkins is good, but he's a little long in the tooth. So you need to get you a wide receiver that could be a number one that you could build with Will Levis. Yeah. So they can go ahead and get that core going and get that capability going and playing together and growing together. So you have to find yourself a wide receiver that has the potential to be a number one wide receiver.
I agree, and that's why you go and get Tennessee's own T. Higgins. You get him. He's Oak Ridge kid. He said he wants to come back to Tennessee. His offensive coordinator last year is now the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. He knows him inside and out. Pause. Pardon the left. That was crazy. But the writing on the wall, and everybody is saying that the Bengals are going to hit him with the franchise tag. So in turn, that means that the Titans can't offer him the $72, $73 million that he wants. But they have a chance to match that. And I don't know if the Bengals are going to do that because they got to pay Chase next mm-hmm. year. And then they already paid Burrow $300 million.
Joe Burrow.
So, in turn, they're going to lose Joe Mixon this season. He's gone. It's just tough. But the market value at $74 million is a good get for a guy like T. Higgins, who I think is a wide receiver. One, it would be good for the Tennessee Titans. So, it just makes sense. You got to make that happen. Hmm? Yeah,
sure.
And your last offseason fix for the Tennessee Titans,
My last offseason, I just went 1, 2, 3. We need a lot, but we need somebody in the secondary. We need a corner.
You think it's corner?
Yeah. I mean, if Derrick King comes back, he comes back. I would love to have Derrick Henry back, but we need a corner. We don't have a corner.
Sean Murphy Bunton. He's one.
Yeah, but he played the slot. But we don't have a lot of
cornerback. I think he's a good corner. Coach, what was your third fix for the Titans?
Man, we're on the same page.
Okay.
They need a corner, and this is why they need a corner. The loss of Byard in that secondary was huge for the Titans.
Yeah.
So you don't have that guy over the top that can still control the secondary, be the captain of the secondary. So you need to get you somebody that you can put on the outside and know I don't have to worry about him, or I don't have to worry about that side with the wide receiver because I have a cornerback over there.
Yeah.
So they need to get a cornerback, I think.
And I think the way that teams draft now, you can get a guy in the third round, second round as a cornerback one and roll with the guys that you have now. I think that's the safest pick as far as like overspending to get somebody like Legarius Sneed. You guys have done that before. You guys have overpaid for Malcolm Butler and it didn't work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think that you build with a guy in the draft and just let him get better. If you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, Trent McDuffie, all those guys are draft guys.
But that's an in-house problem with us.
Yeah.
One of our worst things is we don't develop players well.
At all.
We don't develop players well at all.
Yeah.
On all around the game, offense, defense, special teams, we don't develop players at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, Mike Vrabel thing was he didn't like to coach young players. So you had to come in and be a veteran and play like a veteran.
Yeah, so, which stunted the growth ultimately of people like Christian Fulton. Mm-hmm. Wide receiver guy who slips my mind. My mom loves Burks. Traylon Burks.
Yeah, which like both of them played hurt. They got hurt almost every year.
Yeah. So that's tough. My last offseason fix for the Tennessee Titans, I was thinking that they're going to lose Derrick Henry. He's gone, right? So you have Tajae Sharpe.
They like Tajae.
Yeah, they like Tajae Sharpe. I think you get a complimentary back for Tajae Sharpe, and I think the best complimentary back in the NFL is Tony Pollard. I think Tony Pollard, who's from Memphis, comes back to Tennessee and plays there as a solid – two running back system, kind of similar to what they have in Detroit. Yeah, but fast guy and a little guy.
He does the same thing that
Tajae Sharpe.
Tajae Sharpe does.
Yeah.
If we're gonna do a two back system like that, they're gonna call Derrick Henry back.
They're not doing it. He's not coming back. Tajae Spears.
He said come back on a 10-year deal. I mean, one year, $10 million.
Yeah, they be a fool to get that.
You know. Yeah. No, he's not. No. He did a franchise tag. Pollard did a franchise tag last year. Dallas. Didn't work. Everybody in the NFL knows he's not a running back one. So in turn, he's going to be going home at a discounted price because he's not a running back one. He's just going to get money kind of similar to what Miles Sanders got when he went to Carolina.
Yeah, no running back is going to break the bank.
Yeah.
They ain't going to let them break.
I don't know what C-Mac did for running back. People are going to overspend, and I think the first person people are going to overspend for is Saquon Barkley. No, I'm saying Saquon. No.
He's a rookie deal.
All right, let's move on to the San Francisco 49ers. We have three major offseason fixes to get us back to Super Bowl 59. Coach, we'll kick things off with you. What's the first thing we got to do?
We need to re-sign John Feliciano.
Damn.
We signed him last offseason after stints through other teams, and he stepped in a right guard for Buford, who was struggling, and it was immediate upgrade for us on the offensive interior line. He was rated as the fifth highest graded offensive guard in the NFL. So we need to figure out a way to keep him so we can keep our offensive line.
Okay. I will roll with that. I think we just need to bring in guys, period, at the offensive line. That is our number one priority need. We need to invest in the offensive line, especially when our best player is an aging star in Trent Williams at 35 years old. Changing that organizational philosophy that we have is just plug and play, guys. We can't do that. We have to build a guy up, which we're really good at. We get guys, we draft them well, and then they go through the system and become number one guys.
My bad, Jay. Are y'all ready to let him walk?
He's not going to walk. I'm just saying bring in somebody to play alongside of him so you can put him in when Trent retires.
Okay.
Yeah. If you learn anything from the Super Bowl, you look at having a strong offensive line. It's just as crucial as that strong defensive line. And I think it's almost a little bit more important because we had a bunch of, you know, guys that on our team, right, that were names, things of that nature, like Jeff mentioned on our last show. But the Chiefs spent heavy on their offensive line, and we spent heavy on the defensive line. Mm-hmm. And and that's what Jeff was saying last week. So we just have weak interior offensive linemen. I think we have to address it, like Coach was mentioned. We did a great job on the defensive line on Patrick Mahomes, but Kansas City's offensive line didn't get called for one offensive hold. It's just crazy. That's insane. Weez, you got one fix for us? No.
Yeah, I got a fix for y'all.
Talk to me.
Somehow, y'all got to keep players healthy.
It's true.
Y'all got to keep some players healthy. I mean, I know football's a long season, tough season, so, you know, injuries happen. But I don't know if it – because you guys trade well. Yeah, you guys trade well. You guys get the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. Seems like you do, and you have good coaches. Just got to keep the players healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
Coach, what is our second pick for fixing the 49ers?
My second was what you basically talked about, the offensive line.
Oh, okay, you went double offensive line.
We need a right tackle.
Yeah.
Bad. And because that's the biggest weakness in our offensive line was the offensive right tackle, where Colton McKivitz allowed the most QB pressures, the second most hurries, and gave up 11 sacks in 2023.
Yeah.
So we need to get somebody that can be on that right tackle side. And like you mentioned earlier when we were talking about the Titans, this draft is rich in offensive tackle prospects.
It is.
They saying as many as 8 could be selected in the first round alone.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a perfect opportunity for us to get a right tackle to go along with Trent Williams on the left side. And if we can re-sign John Feliciano, that'll give us 3 good strong linemen on the offensive line. So that was my second, the right tackle.
And with those compensatory picks that we have 11 draft picks
mm-hmm.
in 2024. So in turn, I think we need to prioritize the secondary. And we'll bring back Talanoa Hufanga, who is an all-pro guy, still in his prime. We need a cornerback one. And there are a bunch of cornerback ones in this draft. We had Logan Ryan playing cornerback one for us in the fucking Super Bowl. That's how injured we were, you mm-hmm. know? So can't attack and win games without a guy. Traverius Ward was built up and turned into a Pro Bowl, all-pro guy. We need another guy. And I think with the way that we draft at such a high level, I think we could get 2 guys, one at strong safety, one at corner, to be a guy in that secondary because, man, we needed depth at cornerback and safety, and we just didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I mean, I ain't gonna lie. You're gonna get that one. You're gonna get that pick, though. Right place, right time. What you got, Weezy? Got another?
I think y'all could use, I don't know how much cap space y'all got, but y'all can use another. Y'all can use a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Y'all can use a wide receiver. Because here's the thing. Debo, I don't think he's great at stretching the field.
No.
He ain't gonna really blow past nobody.
No.
But he get open, and it's gonna be hard to tackle. Mm. You know, you find somebody like Mike Evans that's gonna blow past, open the field up. I just think you guys need a, not saying a number one,
mm-hmm.
but somebody that can stretch the field for you.
Yeah. And that was Brandon Ayuk, and I think that, I don't know what we're gonna do with him, but my last pick as far as off-season fixes, Coach, you can kick things off with our last and final.
My last one was, I think we need to extend Ayuk. I don't know if we're going to be able to do it. I would hope we would because at the end of the day, like Weezy mentioned, if we don't have him, we don't have nobody to stretch the field. That's what he did. He was a Pro Bowl snub, which I don't understand how that happened, but he was selected to the NFL's All-Pro second team because he led the NFL in yards per catch and received the second highest grade at receiving for a wide receiver behind Tyreek Hill. So I don't understand how this guy doesn't make the Pro Bowl, but it doesn't matter. But if we can extend Ayuk, that'll help alleviate some of the pressure off of Debo because Debo's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
I don't know when.
Yeah.
If you don't know how long, but he's going to miss games. We know that.
Hard to watch that. Yeah, every game. My last one, man, is let's keep the band together. Let's do it one more time, man. Super Bowl window still open. We have aging stars, Trent Williams, Kyle Juszczyk. We also have Javon Hargrave and Eric Armstead. I think we overpaid for Hargrave last year, which in turn, it worked out. He played well in the Super Bowl. Then you got people in their prime, in Fred Warner, in George Kittle, in Debo, in Ayuk, Traverius Ward, and C-Mac, of course. And then the premier young talent that we have on this team is all our draft guys, in Nick Bosa, Dre Greenlaw, Aaron Banks, Talanoa Hufanga, Lenore, and Jair Brown. And on top of that, we traded to get Chase Young, and he's a part of that premier young talent. And then our quarterback is 24 years old with 2 years left on a super-duper rookie deal. So that's 17, counting Chase Young, 18 A, maybe A-plus talent on the roster. Then nobody, none of those guys that I mentioned are leaving. All of those guys are under contract. So the window isn't closed at all, still very open. I think we could trade some of the older guys to get some younger talent in there. But I think we run it back one more year and kind of see what we can do. I like that.
Just long Chase Young don't try to get no big money.
Oh, yeah, he's going to do that. He got to. He's a clutch guy. Yeah, clutch guy.
Can we afford him?
No, and I think he leaves.
That's why I don't think we're going to be able to keep him.
And that's why I think we get a person like Chop Robinson in the draft to replace him.
Because
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think this is the last year. Y'all play this year.
Yeah.
We're Brock Purdy on the rookie deal. I think next year he gets paid.
Yeah, he has to.
Mm-hmm. He's only making $900,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to get a studio apartment for $500,000
right.
yeah. in the Bay.
He got a roommate.
Quarterback out there for $900,000.
No. Yeah. Not having a roommate, you the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah. Moving on to the Buffalo Bills. three major offseason fixes that they must make to win Super Bowl 59. Bills currently have 10 draft picks and virtually no cap space. Mm. So my first thing to do in order to get these guys rolling, they got to get under the cap by getting younger and healthy, which means they have to get rid of Tre'Davious White. Cameraman, he's missed 30 games in the last three seasons. Played just 10 games since 2022.
That's not good.
Yeah, so he just tore his Achilles this year. Mm. You got Matt Milano. You're going to have to get rid of guys. You're just going to have to cut guys, which is tough, and you're going to have to restructure some contracts, which is Josh Allen talking to you, and I'm also talking to Von Miller, or you get cut.
Mm-hmm.
It would save them $45 million in cap space if you get rid of Trey White and you restructure those two contracts. Then you can make some moves then. Yeah. So I would say getting under the cap space threshold, because they're at $42 million in cap space.
Yeah. I think Tre'Davious White and Von Miller are gone. They'll get both of them.
Okay.
I think Von Miller goes first. But here's the thing with Tre'Davious White. He's like, you know, in high school, the sophomore, he cold.
Mm-hmm.
But then after junior and senior year, he gets hurt, and we just waiting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're just waiting to see what happens.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he just keep getting hurt. So,
yeah.
And that's cool if your team win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But your team been a Super Bowl contender, we need you to show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tearing your ACL, tearing your Achilles this year.
What injuries in football?
Really big injuries back to back, man.
That's not good.
Then you just got to get rid of guys. The next thing I have for those guys to do is to get a valid number two wide receiver. The Bills got to do something right there. You have two tight ends, two valid tight ends, but you do not have a second wide receiver. Gabe Davis let you down this year. He's hurt. He's going to be gone. They're going to cut him to get under cap space. The depth behind Diggs is super lackluster.
Mm-hmm. They got a tight end, though.
Nah, that's why I said they got two tight ends. Yeah, so in turn, you need another wide receiver one. So in turn, if you get under that cap space, you can offer a guy like Mike Evans, who I think will come there to be a wide receiver pseudo 1-2 for Josh Allen. Or you get a Mike Pittman Jr. You might can do that because he's an unrestricted free agent who they'll probably franchise tag in Indianapolis. So, or Marquise Brown. Hollywood Brown is there as well. So you get one of those guys. I think Mike Evans makes the most sense for Buffalo. And I think they got to find a way to do that. And if that means getting rid of Micah Hyde or getting rid of Trey White, you got to do that.
Yeah. Diggs and Evans on the opposite side.
That's all they need.
Yeah, boy, that's tough.
Yeah. And last but not least, as far as their final pick, and Jeff has been screaming this from the world, to get a running back.
Yeah.
They need a running back. But here's the thing, man. Entering the 2023 NFL season, the Bills hadn't had a 1,000-yard rusher since 2017, Shady McCoy. They had one in James Cook, 1,000 yards. Mm-hmm. He played really well the second half of the season. So I understand Jeff's complaint, like, hey, man, we need some guys at the running back position because you don't have, you know, you're seeing a team get a person like C-Mac and change the entire complexity of the team. You want your team to go and do that as well. I understand his frustrations, but James Cook is good.
Yeah, and here's the thing about NFL and rushing. Only 10 receivers get over 1,000. I mean, only 10 running backs get over 1,000 yards these days.
Yeah.
The top 10 do.
Yeah.
And here's the thing with Buffalo. We're screaming running back, running back, running back. Stop running the ball, Josh Allen. Just running the ball.
Yeah.
Get the ball to the running back. He got you 1,000.
Yeah.
You give it to him 20 more times, that's probably 1,300 yards.
Yeah, you got to have two guys, though. You're not winning a game with one running back no more. It's hard to do.
I understand that. But Josh Allen has to stop running the ball.
Yeah, their second running back is Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And that's not good. Yeah. That's not good for the longevity of that team.
Yeah. No. Because I guarantee you, if Josh Allen – was Lamar Jackson, they'll say he's running too much.
Yeah, 100%.
But
yeah.
You don't hear them saying that.
No. Nah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
So quit running the ball.
And you can get good depth at that through the draft. I think they have 10 draft picks. So in turn, with 10 draft picks, there's some guys out there that you can get at the running back position that could come in and play at a high level behind James Cook because he's clearly the number one guy. I think you could go in and get some guys to kind of help that running back room, but their major priority is getting under the cap space, under that $42 million. And also wide receiver too. That would be good. I don't want them to get rid of Stephon Diggs. I think it makes sense for him to stay in Buffalo.
Yeah.
That is talk, but I just don't see him leaving there. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because now you really don't have no wide
receivers. You don't have no wide receivers in, you know? So Mike Evans. Putting him opposite Mike Evans would be great for football. That'd be good. And good for Buffalo as a whole. I think he'll take a pay cut to go play some meaningful football. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is it. Mm-hmm. We fixed all of our team.
Fixed them.
Fixed them.
Hopefully. Get them right.
Hopefully. Man, that's tough, man.
Oh, boy.
That's
over.
Good.
Football is over.
Good.
Football is
good.
Over.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, man. Off season. Yep. The free agency opens up March 13th.
Bro.
So it's here. They start making trades, not trades, but start releasing players within the next week or two. So it's going to be some nasty cap casualties. Mm-hmm. Because this is the thing. We're talking about, hey, man, you need to restructure. A lot of people were like, they asked Tyreek Hill, hey, restructure. Nah. Restructure. All right, good. We got your ass up out of there. They traded his ass.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But
somebody like Tyreek Hill, who just got his money, I wouldn't restructure either. Now, if you're
Von Miller,
who already got two big boy deals, yeah, he might restructure.
I don't blame Tyreek Hill either.
I ain't going to lie. Yeah. If I'm Von Miller, I know these my I ain't restructuring either.
Yeah, it depends on where he is.
I'm not restructuring. Now, he's fine in life. What I'm saying is he's going to have to play for a one-year prove-it deal because he's coming off a torn ACL.
Yeah.
So, in turn,
I bet you he'll restructure if he goes to Kansas City.
No, it ain't no restructuring. He'll be on a brand-new contract.
Yeah, I'm just saying he'll go play for the league minimum in Kansas City. Just go get one more ring. He might not restructure if Buffalo, he don't think Buffalo can get there.
The elephant in the room where nobody's talking about is Aaron Donald is there to be traded for. Who takes the chance to go get AD to help bolster their defensive line? Somebody got to do it. That's the elephant in the room. Aaron Donald will not play for the Rams next year.
I think he will.
Shit. And for what?
I wouldn't be surprised he retired.
Nah.
You got to play one more year.
If he goes somewhere crazy, like if Pittsburgh just don't have a quarterback, if they get a quarterback, if he goes to Dallas, watch out.
He cannot go to Dallas.
And
they afford him at Dallas?
Yeah, they can. Because they finna get rid of hella people in Dallas.
Oh.
Because you got to look at 22 is coming off the books with Tony Pollard.
I'm going to tell you who's in trouble in Dallas. The cornerback.
Javon Diggs?
Yeah.
No, he's not.
That boy Deron Bland led the league this year.
That means it's good. That's cool. Javon Diggs just signed a big boy deal.
That's what I'm saying.
He's fine.
Okay.
He's coming off of ACL too? Nah, he's fine. He'll be fine. And that is episode 505. We fixed our NFL teams. Let's know what we did right. Let's know what we did wrong. Tweet us the questions throughout the week at Full Sport Press. Don't forget to comment. Give us a thumbs up on the YouTube page. On the iTunes page, please rate and subscribe. And more importantly, don't forget to tell a friend. Weezy.
Everything paid for, big baby.
Coach.
Get a drummer song.
Cameraman, The Revolution will be podcasted. We are out.
Peace to the Full Press podcast. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Full Sport Press podcast. To catch up on previous episodes, please check out the YouTube page and wherever you find your favorite podcast. Don't forget, tell a friend to tell a friend.
The revolution will be podcasted.